Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Western Division of Columbia's Department of Public Affairs takes you now to the very spot on which the motion picture industry was born in Hollywood. Today, that site, now the location of Columbia Square, is to be marked by a special memorial. Here to take part in its dedication are cinema stars of today and yesterday, civic leaders and radio and picture officials. 29 years ago, in 1911, William and David Horsley traveled well out into the country to Sunset and Gower, where stood the old Blondeau Tavern. This they remodeled into the Nestor Studios, Hollywood's first picture studio. The scene before us now is in sharp contrast to those early days, for the site is now occupied by the Columbia Broadcasting System's Hollywood Studios, one of the most modern radio plants in the world. This evening, here at Columbia Square, the Screen Guild Theater, the picture industry's own radio program, began its new series of broadcasts. And appropriately, the well-known master of ceremonies of that program is going to introduce our guests of honor at this dedication. Here is Roger Pryor.
Thank you, Art Gilmore. You know, while you were talking, I've been thinking about what I was doing in 1911, when the film industry first came to this spot in Hollywood. I was just a beneficiary of the entertainment business then, I think, listening to my father's band make music. That was almost 30 years ago. But seriously, motion pictures today are important to all we value in modern life. If we need any further proof, further evidence of the service to democracy performed by motion pictures, the fact that films made under the American way of life are now banned from the screen of countries opposed to democracy is eloquent. One of the responsibilities of success under our democratic way of life is to help provide for less fortunate colleagues. That is the purpose of the Screen Guild Theater, program heard each Sunday over CBS, to provide, through the Motion Picture Relief Fund, financial aid for all film workers, from producers to prop boys, from stars to cutters, should ever they need it. Among the many prominent members of the Screen Actors Guild who contribute their service to radio for this reason is Frank Morgan. Will you say hello, Frank?
Hello.
Well, I know. Will you say something else?
What do you mean? And give away how long I've been making pictures? No, sir, not me.
All right, then. You can't talk, huh?
Can't talk? I can't, too. I can say something about the whole entertainment business and about how one type of enterprise blends with and assists another. I've been on the stage and films and on the air, and if I should point out that it is one part of the large field of entertainment, radio, which is making it possible for us, who work principally in another part, motion pictures, to make our good intentions so effective that we don't, that there's no, I would have said something pretty good and right. But I'm not talking, young man.
You're not talking. Well, very well, then. If Frank Morgan won't talk, perhaps we can get another member of the Morgan family to say something. Here is Ralph Morgan, past president of the Screen Actors Guild. He speaks today for Edward Arnold, president of the Guild, who's at present in New York.
I'd just like to say that the tablet we see for the first time tonight is a simple one. But it will remind passers-by of simple beginnings and of what great things can grow from them. So I think it is appropriately unpretentious. What is more important is that the impulse lives among men to look backward to the experience of those who have accomplished things before them. The fact that those pioneers could have done so much with what must have been discouragingly little to start with is a good thing to remember.
Thank you, Ralph. But we didn't talk in generalities, for here at my side is an authority on Hollywood's history, both past and present. Actress, star of today's screen and radio, she has also become an expert on the past in her other character as one of your favorite modern news writers, Hedda Hopper.
Well, I didn't arrive in Hollywood as early as William Horsley, nor was I in on the birth of the motion picture industry. But I spent a year here in 1915 when Cecil DeMille was burning Geraldine Farrar at the stake in Joan of Arc. And she used to startle the natives on a Sunday morning when they were wending their way to church by bursting forth in that golden voice and singing Madam Butterfly. When D.W. Griffith brought Sir Herbert Tree all the way from London, that was the first time a gentleman with a handle to his name had been part of the motion picture industry. Not knowing what to call him, Griffith ordered a dozen cowboys to ride down to the station and give him a Western welcome. So when he stepped off the train with his British valet, the cowboys threw their hats up in the air, pulled their horses up on their haunches, and shouted, Welcome, Sir Tree. And he was never called anything else. In those days, Charlie Chaplin was more than happy to be getting $100 a week. And it was a year later before he made his first feature-length picture. That was Mary Dresler in Tilly's Punctured Romance with Charlie Chaplin. This was just about the time Mary Pickford, known throughout the country as America's sweetheart, was getting married to Owen Moore, her first husband. Lillian, Dorothy Gish, and Connie Talmadge were playing in D.W. Griffith's Intolerance. The two gunmen of the Great Open Spaces was not Gene Autry in 1915, but Bill Hart. He was madly in love with Norma Talmadge. Norma was honest enough to say, "Well, I like you, Bill, but I don't know whether I want to be your wife or not. I'm taking a trip to New York, and if I don't find anybody there I like any better, who knows, I might say yes." She went on to New York, met Joe Skank, and became his wife. This was the year Doug Fairbanks started making screen history and got all his Broadway acting pals into the picture business, too. But they only lasted one season. Among them were DeWolf Hopper, Raymond Hitchcock, Weber and Fields, Sam Bernard, and many, many others. Most of them worked for Max Sennett, who starred himself in all their pictures. Mabel Normand was one of the most popular and highest-priced stars in town. It was during this period that William Farnham was getting $10,000 a week. And after paying that, William Fox couldn't afford to buy land on which to build a studio. So Bill made the first payment on the land at the corner of Sunset and Western, where the old Fox studio still stands. It was the same William Farnham who put me in the picture business. God help you. I played his leading lady in the Battle of Hearts, and the whole picture was taken in, on, or under the water. I couldn't swim and was terrified of the sea, so Bill got three deep-sea divers from Catalina Island to surround me every time I had to go into the Pacific. I thought then, and I still think, that Bill Farnham is one of the finest men I ever met, and I'd like you to know him. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. William Farnham. Hello, Bill. Welcome to our dedication ceremonies. Tell me, does this corner arouse any fond memories in you?
Oh, many, Hedda. You know, it's a wonderful sight to see Maurice Costello, Mary Carr, Hobart Bosworth, Clara Kimball Young, and all so many of my old friends here gathered together this afternoon to honor the birthplace of our industry.
Well, I understand your brother, Dustin, worked many times on this very corner, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he appeared in many of those early day films, and I watched him in scenes on this very spot many a time.
And you're still as active as ever in the industry, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah, I try to be. Just around the corner, they tell me. You know, Hedda, I'm celebrating my 50th anniversary in the theater this year.
Oh, congratulations, Bill. What about that new picture you just finished, Kit Carson?
Kit Carson? Say, by the way, that's a swell picture, Hedda.
You bet it was.
Oh, you know, I have a great deal of respect for that Eddie Small. He seems to know what the public want. And believe me, Hedda, it's easy to realize that the motion picture industry has come a long way when you compare the shooting methods of the old Nestor Studios with the methods used in Kit Carson.
Yes, but wouldn't you say it was as much fun and just as interesting working in those early films as it is today?
Just as interesting and a lot more fun, Hedda. You see, when the Horsley brothers and Colonel Seelig and the rest of them operated those early day studios, the motion picture industry was a lusty, battling business.
You said it, battling.
Yeah, battling. I know something about that. As you know. Well, we all worked hard and liked it. You know, it is a thrill to work so hard and to fight so hard for those first results at the box offices of this country.
Thank you so much, Bill. And again, congratulations on your 50th year in the theater.
Thank you, Hedda.
And now, before turning the mic over to Roger Pryor, I think you'd like to hear a few words from another star of those early days, Miss Dorothy Davenport, wife of the late Wallace Reed. The one of the two original leading ladies with the Nestor Studios when they first opened on this very corner in 1911. Welcome to our program, Dorothy.
Thanks, Hedda. It's swell being here. The old place doesn't look quite the same, but it's really wonderful to see what's happened to it. And to have seen James Stewart, Miss Sullivan, and Frank Morgan in the Screen Guild Theater carrying on the entertainment tradition we helped to start right here so many years ago.
Yes, it was grand for all of us, wasn't it? Tell me, Dorothy, when did you first come to Hollywood?
October 1911. Victoria Ford, you remember, Hedda, she later became Mrs. Talmadge?
Of course.
Well, she and I were the only feminine members of the Horsley Stock Company for the munificent salary of $30 a week.
Oh, and what type of work did you do in those old pictures?
Well, all the pictures, of course, were one reelers then. And each week we made one Western, one straight drama, and one Mutton Jeff comedy.
Wow, what a schedule. And did the shooting conditions then compare with those of today?
Well, they were a lot simpler and easier. See, we only worked in the daytime because artificial lights were unheard of then. And if a rainy day happened along, vacation for us.
Well, we'd welcome that today. Tell me, did you have adequate studio facilities?
Hardly. I know when Victoria and I came right here on this corner and began to hunt for dressing rooms, we discovered the Horsleys had cleaned and whitewashed what had been the chicken coops of the Blondel Tavern. Those were our dressing rooms.
Oh, I don't want you, I don't want to pry, but, what are you doing now, Dorothy?
Well, I'm still at it, but on the other side of the camera, as a writer.
Oh, thank you very much, Dorothy Davenport, and you too, Bill Farnham, for speaking to our audience. I see Maurice Costello, Paul Panzer, Hobart Bosworth, Clara Kimball Young, Mary Carr, and many, many others in our audience here today, and all of them have interesting stories to tell of those early days in Hollywood. But unfortunately, our time is short, and Roger Pryor is at my side ready to introduce our other guests and to unveil the memorial. All right, Roger.
Thank you, Hedda Hopper. It gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce Mr. James R. Pierce, president of the Los Angeles Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, Roger Pryor. The Los Angeles Junior Chamber of Commerce is happy to participate in this ceremony and to thank the Columbia Broadcasting System, Station KNX, and the Screen Guild Theater for their fine cooperation. This city, this entire part of California, is rich in historical background and legend, which never should be neglected. For that reason, and after considerable research and study to verify landmark facts, the Civic Arts and Historical Landmarks Committee of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, under the chairmanship of Mr. Austin Martin, has selected certain notable places to be marked. Today, we initiate our civic program. At this time, it gives me satisfaction, pride, and pleasure to present to the entire motion picture industry this inscribed bronze tablet marking the site of the first motion picture studio in Hollywood.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. As a representative of the motion picture industry, I accept this plaque with warm thanks. We salute the Los Angeles Junior Chamber of Commerce for its progressive leadership in civic matters. This is a day we shall not soon forget. Here to add a word for the industry is an old friend, Gene Herschel.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was with real pleasure that I accepted an invitation to make a brief appearance in this program. The motion picture industry has traveled a long way since that day back in 1911 when Mr. Horsley and his brother established a studio here on this Sunset and Gower Corner. But I think, and I like to think, that it's still a family affair, with everyone in Hollywood a member. And I believe that today's gathering on this historic site is proof of that statement. For with us are stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all joined in a common cause to honor the site of the motion picture industry's birthplace in Hollywood. This plaque will commemorate the fact that our new Gulf Screen Guild Theater is located on that site. It is our hope that the memorial will remain here for all time as a tribute to the fact that the new Gulf Theater, the star's own theater, will continue successfully for many, many more years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene Herschel. And now we of Motion Pictures place this plaque in the hands of the present owners of this historic piece of land, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Here to accept it is Mr. Donald W. Thornburg, Vice President of the Columbia Network. Mr. Thornburg.
The Columbia Broadcasting System is sincerely pleased to receive this tablet. It will be a permanent feature of our forecourt here, always on view to commemorate this spot as the birthplace of the motion picture industry. The soil on which Columbia Square stands is rich in tradition, a tradition of service to the American public. The film industry has given this nation the finest in education and entertainment, and we of the Columbia Broadcasting System are happy to carry on in that same spirit.
Thank you, Mr. Thornburg. Ladies and gentlemen, here at Columbia Square this evening, motion picture stars past and present have joined hands with civic and broadcasting officials to commemorate the site of the first film studio in Hollywood. This dedication of the plaque, which now marks that spot, has been brought to you by the Western Division of Columbia's Department of Public Affairs. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.